coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio. Located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to Hagman. It is the Hagman Report for today. It's Tuesday, September 17th, 2024. I want to thank you all for joining me. Thank you so much for your belief and trust in this platform. You know, we've been around a long time, and
for 2022.
Inside joke there, or 2022. I did say 2024, right?
Yeah, you did.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I had the other day I was scheduled for some tests to be done, medical tests to be done, and I had orders, paper orders, nonetheless. Or
bend over.
No, not that kind. And anyway, I took my orders in, and you know, I had to fast. I had to do all this stuff to, you know, and I handed the orders over, and a woman says, she's looking through the things, looks at me and looks back down at the orders and says, "I can't take these." And I'm thinking, why not? And she said, "Because they expired 2 years ago." 20, they put the wrong date in. So you know, it's not just because. I'll tell you what, I am anti. I'm a Luddite. Okay, I don't like this. I don't like the computer stuff. But you know, it would have been easy if they could have said, "Hey, you know, just type something in and send down to the doctor." And the doctor, anyway. They couldn't do that. So, but see, I changed doctors because I fired my last one, and I'm going to a doctor 40 miles from where I sit, because my other doctor was a putz. Because, you know, hey, you got to have the vax, you got to do this, you got to mask up, you got. My current doctor, who's actually a friend of mine, I've known him for 20 some years. He said all that was crap. That was a bunch of BS. So he's one of us. But anyway, all right, got a great show lineup for you. It's just me and Eric the Tech today. Got some catching up to do. But before I get into the program, I want to talk about BioX 4. Yeah, look, we live in the most advanced era in human history. There's never been more medical breakthroughs than there are right now. So why are millions of Americans, and you got to ask yourself this, more unhealthy and overweight than they've ever been before? And if you look at the ticket of RFK and Trump, you'll see this focus on health, which is really refreshing if you can take it at face value. So, but moving on, based on U.S. board certified physician expert nutritionist Dr. Amy Lee, one of the main reasons that so many people are unhealthy and overweight are three harmful foods, three, count them, three, not one, not two, but three harmful foods that are being passed off as health foods all over the country. And I got into this pretty heavy because I really wanted to see, and if I talk about anything, I check it out first. So I wanted to really get into this and see what was going on. Because these foods can cause weight gain, clog your digestion tract, I'm telling you, you could have some problems there, deplete your energy, which is a big thing these days, and wreck your skin. They're banned in other countries. And I noticed something about my skin. I chalked it off to aging, but my skin was kind of off, you know, like if like Eric punches me, which he does often, the skin would kind of react to that in ways that I wouldn't expect. So I asked them to stop hitting me. But I also focused on these three harmful foods and looked at this video. But the fact that they're still legal in the U.S., it's time that someone really focused on what they are. Now, Dr. Amy Lee does just that while explaining how the side effects from these foods are wreaking havoc on us, our health, millions of Americans. The great news is it's easy to stop and reverse damage by learning which foods to avoid and how to spot them. And since I've done that, I've noticed a difference in my skin. And of course, I've lost weight, and people know that. And I've got more energy. So to find out these three fake health foods, And I'm pausing there because you think about this, and these are being pushed as health foods, as healthy foods. You need to learn about this. Go to 3harmfulfoods.com/Hagman. That's 3harmfulfoods.com/Hagman. Or just click on the link in the description box below. And after years of extensive study, Dr. Lee put together this really great video. It's a revealing video, totally free to the public. So you never get duped by these foods again. So find out all you need to know to regain control over your body at 3harmfulfoods.com/Hagman. Just click on the description box below as well. And I want to thank them for doing what they do so well, partnering up with us and allowing us to be or sponsoring this program, 3harmfulfoods.com/Hagman. All right, so it's just Eric and I today. And there's a lot of things that we need to get into that are important to you, to me, to the country, and to the world at large. One of the first things I want to start out with is this. It was interesting because I had a guest on yesterday, and folks, Terry Newsom is an awesome guy. If you haven't caught yesterday's show, if you haven't spread it on social media, if you haven't visited his website, and if you haven't subscribed to his Rumble channel, do so. Please do so. The guy is a fighter. He's a street fighter. He's an amazing man. He's a cancer survivor. He's just an amazing guy, and I'm glad to have gotten to know him as well as I have. We need to take the fight to the streets, and that's what he's doing. This is a fight against, good versus evil. But I got taken to the woodshed by at least one commenter on our Rumble channel. You didn't cover the assassination on Monday or on Sunday that happened, the assassination attempt on Sunday. You didn't cover that. I know. And it was deliberate because everyone else was covering that specific topic. Here's what I want you.
There are so many different stories out there.
I'm glad you popped in here because isn't it interesting from like the moment it hits the wires or the news to, I don't know, a day or two later, how the news evolves, and it's difficult to really, initially, to really make sense of what is taking place. I mean, how many times does that story change? A lot, right? I mean, it did. Yeah. But here's what I don't want to happen. I don't want the attempted assassination of President Trump that took place on July 13th, 2024. I don't want that to become memory hold. Now, we can talk about these attempts, and we have talked about the attempt from July 13th. And you know, folks, we've been tasked with investigating certain aspects of July 13th. And I'm not going to give away any client information. I'm not going to give away what we've been tasked with doing. But the fact is, Shatter Ops saved them. Hagman PI or Hagman Investigative Services Incorporated as the lead in that investigation. We've been doing this. That's enough. I mean, just understand. We've been working probably longer and harder than any time in our history. Specifically investigating initially now. Beginning now, 47 days, roughly 48 days ago, maybe closer to 50 days ago, since it was assigned, the Butler, Pennsylvania assassination attempt. And because of the manpower, and this is important, okay? I've been doing this 37 years. Homage to Steve Quayle. Okay, I've been doing what I've been doing for 37 years. Not as a private investigator, I don't take domestic cases, never did. I made a few exceptions, I think, during my career. But it's all been for Fortune 100, Fortune 500 companies. And it's all been for fraud or for certain other insurance-based investigations, including equivocal homicide investigations, where the manner of death is in question. Was it a homicide, suicide, or accident? And that was a big part of what we did. Cold case homicides as well. I mean, we're on record in solving two cold case homicides, finding evidence, not definitive proof where the DA could actually charge somebody, but certainly identifying the person in a couple of cases who committed the homicide, but the DA couldn't prosecute. Why? Because of the cold case nature, a lot of the evidence was destroyed or rendered useless for one reason or another. Some of the witnesses have passed on. You get the idea. But in total, those cases were solved. Doesn't mean they're off the books. They're still open. It's cold cases. But we know who did them. I don't want the events of July 13th, 2024 to be memory old. When news of the second assassination attempt in 64 days came over the wire on Sunday, we all got together and we were discussing this in the bigger format. Is there something else going on? Obviously there is. I warned specifically, but we warned collectively that the network, and there is a network out there, I'm telling you right now, a network exists that outlives Thomas Matthew Crooks and will continue performing with the sidelining of the latest attempted assassin. The people behind these attempts are not going to stop until President Trump and all of the America First people are dead or otherwise neutralized. We looked at a number of things. We looked at and actually crafted a very extensive timeline of Thomas Matthew Crooks back in July. Actually predated the days, actually predated the event by days, weeks, months. And even more importantly, what happened afterwards. Now think about that. If the lone gunman assassin is dead, what are you talking about afterwards? Well, without getting into too much detail, you know, there are ways you can track people who intersected with the life of a person and then map out where their presence might be. And you can read between the lines at any given time. People buy this information for marketing purposes all the time. It exists out there. So you can actually map out, let's say person A intersects with person B on a routine basis, or even just coincidentally, or not coincidentally, but even just once or twice or three times. Well, okay, what happens to, if person A is out of the picture, what about B and C, persons B and C? What are they doing right now, and who are they interacting with? And you can see how you can build a case from it. We've been connecting dots, and the dots are creating a very troubling image of troubling relationships that appear to exist at higher levels of government, higher levels of different government agencies, the corporate media, and private entities. And it's interesting because what we found, and I'm just going to be flat out with you. The latter, the private entities, some appear to have some Department of Defense military connections. Now, we found this out weeks prior to this past Sunday. Let me say that again. The entities that intersected during the days and weeks prior to July 13th, 2024, that intersected with Crooks, have some involvement with Department of Defense or businesses with military applications within the Department of Defense. We reported on that some time ago. 64 days later, you have this moron, this left-wing nut job, Ukrainian, Ukrainian face paint and all that stuff at times, setting up and attempting to kill the president again, or attempting to shoot the president again with the intent to kill him. Two attempts in 64 days. Now, as we openly concluded on this program and privately to others, the attempts to end the life of President Trump by assets of national and international operatives will continue, even beyond last Sunday. It's going to continue. And it's going to continue well beyond the 2024 election. It's going to continue as long as the movement of America First continues. The forces behind the attempts, they must not only terminate President Donald Trump, but they have to terminate the America First agenda. When we looked at the Crooks timeline, there were inexplicable actions that existed and are woven within the timeline of his life, this pattern of life, that can't be attributed to incompetence or mistakes by the U.S. Secret Service and other protective details, other agencies, even within the campaign itself. Listen to what I'm saying to you, because words are important, right? You know, when they're viewed in their totality, they can't be explained away, but they do indicate both foreknowledge of a potentially fatal event taking place in Butler on the 13th day of July, and a continuing threat to President Trump as a former president, and most importantly, as a candidate for the current election. And these findings, when viewed through the lens of what happened on Sunday, they become even more alarming. You've got to ask the question with respect to the latest attempt. You've got to look at a couple of things very seriously. The fact that President Trump was going to go, or did go golfing on this past Sunday, was an OTR event. In other words, it was the last minute. OTR is off the record. It was not on the record, on the schedule for that day. This was done really kind of at the last moment. So at most, maybe a dozen people knew about his decision to play golf at that location in West Palm Beach County, or in Palm Beach County, last Sunday. Yet you have a guy, part-time guy, living in North Carolina, living in Hawaii. You get this guy that comes into this foreign area and lies in wait for President Trump. How do you know he was going to be there? We, as an investigative firm, and the investigators individually, as I said, we came to this conclusion before this, but there is a problem inside either the U.S. Secret Service or within the close circle of President Trump's people. They know that. They know that. I guarantee you they know that. When you look at the actions of the latest attempted assassin, what screams off the page at you? Motive, right? Motive screams off the page at you. A lot of times, acts of violence, crime, they don't have a motive. This one does. This guy was a rabid leftist. Is a rabid leftist. A pro-Ukrainian, pro-war person who believes that we should do everything to back Ukraine. In fact, this Nimrod actually went over to Ukraine, was filmed over there a couple of times, and actually was in contact with numerous media personalities, both over in Europe as well as here in America, in urging people to fight for Ukraine. So the motive jumps off the page at you. The motive, it's just, his motive screams. It was all about Ukraine and the fact that President Trump would end the war between Russia and Ukraine, which could have been accomplished back last March, but the West, specifically the UK and other countries in the West, said no. And under the weak leadership of potato head Biden, we folded as well. That wouldn't happen with President Trump. What happens when the Ukrainian war effort stops? What happens? People stop getting rich from weapons sales. Okay, so who's benefiting from weapons sales? Well, it's the conglomerates. The military-industrial complex, the usual suspects there. But there's a lot of money that, as I believe Lindsey Graham said, you know, the money don't, or no, I'm sorry, as not Schumer, who's the other, on the other side? Turtle. What's his name? The senator, oh, come on. You know who I'm talking about. The Senate majority or minority leader. The money doesn't stay over there. It comes back into the politicians' pockets. That's really the bottom line. So the motive here, once you take President Trump out of the equation, they can get on with World War III. Now, I was talking with, this was a number of days ago, maybe 7, 8, 9, 10 days ago. I had a phone conversation. Yeah, I'm on a name drop here with Jack Posobiec, and it was interesting, the conversation we had about a number of different things with respect to Ukraine and some of the warmongers here in this country. And then last Friday, again, this is pre-assassination attempt now, assassination attempt number two. He was talking about the potential for World War III, as is everyone or should be talking about that. The reason I bring that up now is the fact that you cannot take out the attempted assassinations, plural, and you cannot separate them from what's going on overseas, so the foreign policy of the U.S. with respect to Ukraine. You cannot separate that. You can't do it because there's big money involved here, big money interests involved. My presentation that you'll see, I believe it's going to be on the 27th of September, has to do with an October surprise. And my with Paul Begley, Pastor Paul Begley, October surprise. Make sure you sign up for that. But from my position, the October surprise that we are about to expect is happening now. It has been happening and will continue to happen well beyond October. We have to think bigger about current events. Remember the people in charge. They want to kill us. They want population control. They want to they want to create a war for depopulation. They want to create a war. So they can rule over the ashes. Getting back to the assassination by crooks, as a matter of fact, the anomalies there alone should give people pause. Now, I've worked this case far beyond I think any other anything else but a homicide. I mean, I worked this harder than any other case than I can remember. That's the Butler case. And so did the members of Shatter Ops and Save Them and Eric the Tech and others. But the anomalies associated with that particular event are plentiful. And I'm not talking about, oh, it wasn't crooks on the roof, or it was some Antifa individual. I'm not going to name him, but you know, I've gotten hate mail saying you're lying. It's this person on the roof. You're a liar. I don't know what to tell you. If I can stand and look at that very person that is being named as being on the roof dead, and I can look in that person's eyes, and that person has life in his body. Would you say that? Talking to a corpse? I'm talking about anomalies now that are provable, that are verifiable, that we can authenticate. And anymore, if you look at a video, how can you be sure, for example, a video has not been untouched, or a photograph? Anymore these days, you don't know what I mean. My goodness, I'm sure somebody could have me saying something or doing something. Well, you see it all the time on the internet, where the person's saying something he never said, she never said, whatever. It's all a deep fake. So that's why it's so important not to rely on things like videos and pictures on the internet. You've got to go the old shoe leather approach. I cut my teeth on that, on that approach. You hit the ground, you walk, you go to doors, you talk to people that you know. You can't fake that. Oh, sure, I'm sure with a mask or whatever, yeah, you could. But beyond that, don't rely on what you see on TV. Don't rely on what you see on the internet. Don't rely on some of the social media postings. You go out. I mean, if that's what you're tasked to do, charged to do, then you do it in that fashion. Yeah, I got a couple of questions. These are well known, but I'm going to toss these out because, again, I don't want people to forget about this. One of the questions I had, and I still have, it has not been explained to me with any degree of, at least in my view, with any kind of certainty. CNN, they go out to all kinds of rallies. They're rallies all the time, but what they do is they don't broadcast them live. They'll be there, and they'll show cutaways during their normal programming. This time, CNN broadcasts a rally live on network television. Now, they do oftentimes broadcast on their digital internet channels, but it doesn't make it to the network television station. This time it did. And I'm a big believer in when somebody does something out of the ordinary like this, you got to pay attention to that. Why? Out of all the events, why this one? Well, rumor was he was going to announce his VP candidate. Well, if you really paid attention, and I would suspect that if you're a network news broadcaster, you would have known that was not going to happen that day. Huh? But people believe that. Keep on believing what you want. But this is contrary to their normal procedures, even during an election cycle. Again, just to be clear, CNN and other networks are usually present at such events, but they have generally used cutaways rather than live streaming the entire event. Not in this case. Why? Ask yourself why. And ask yourself, what was the basis for that decision and who made that decision? There's a New York Times photographer also present. I'm not going to give his name. And New York Times, by the way, is very... Look, they've got a reputation for fraudulent photographs, fraudulent stories. Jason Blair, ring a bell? If not, you can research it on your own. There's a photographer there, ostensibly representing New York Times, filming at filming the event in a sweet position. Those are the pictures, by the way, you saw of President Trump with the blood running down his face, and extremely good pictures. But his camera was set at 1/8,000 frames per second, or 8,000 frames per second. I'm not sure exactly sure how to use that in a proper phrase. But the setting is generally speaking, it's reserved for high action events like NASCAR. You know, the cars going around and around. High speed action. What can be more high speed than a hypersonic bullet, or even a bullet that's a slower bullet hitting a person's skull? Do you realize, if you think back to the Zapruder film, that was sold by Zapruder, Abraham Zapruder. And back then in 63, there weren't a whole lot of video cameras filming that event. There's one that still never surfaced, but I digress. But the monetary value that such footage would have at that speed, at that clarity, at that, just using that setting alone, would be extremely significant. And I listened to Michael Yon, and actually I've talked to Michael Yon. You may not know who he is. If you do, great. He's a combat correspondent, not just a war, but a combat correspondent. He's out there filming, I mean, the real stuff, and using the best cameras and equipment possible. He's like 8,000 frames per second. Now, man, he said, unless you're filming, you know, the face of the sun, or you're looking to, that's not normal. But if there was an event that involved action, that would really capture the action in its raw format, would allow extremely incredible detail. As gross as that sounds. But the other thing he said really brought me to attention. And that's the fact that you realize the value of such footage. If you took that footage, and let's say that bullet did connect, you realize that would be worth tens of millions of dollars. At the same time, that footage was also being transmitted directly to that photographer's home base. So that camera wasn't just a camera. It was a transmitting device that was transmitting that footage in real time. Why am I saying all this? I'm saying this because I don't want those issues to be memory hold. I don't want the issues of the abnormal procedures that took place on the 13th of July by Beaver, by Butler. And again, not everyone, but some individuals, by the U.S. Secret Service, by HSI. I don't want people to forget about this. And more importantly, I want people to take that template and compare it to last Sunday. So to the individual, at least one who said, well, you didn't cover any of the attempted assassination of President Trump yesterday. That's it. I'm done watching you. Did you drop something? I was asking Eric the tech. You okay? I just heard this. Is that you? Okay. Hey, lady, the studio dog, you okay? Yeah, she's okay. All right. Sorry about that. Off-screen drama, apparently. I don't want to just touch the surface and not dig into the real stuff that matters. And more videos being found about that particular instance. Just understand this. We have to look at this, and we are looking at this as not, well, we are looking at them as individual standalone incidents, but we're looking at them as a whole, as part of a whole. You've got two different events, 64 days between July 13th and September 15th. You look at them individually, but you also look at them as a whole. What do they have in common? And I said all of that to say this as well. This is they're going to continue to attempt to kill President Trump. They've got no other choice. Well, they have one other choice, and that's where that conversation I mentioned earlier with Jack Posobiec comes in. But the motive of Thomas Matthew Kirk to kill President Trump seemingly appears to elude officials. Oh, we can't figure out why this kid did it. Why this kid went up on the roof to do it. Even the bipartisan congressional task force is clueless to date. Now, I'm going to share something with you. The bipartisan congressional task force, I was in contact with a member, a staffer of that bipartisan task force. I'm not going to give any names. Wanted my information and said, look, you know, come on, give us the information to help us out. And I said, I'll do so with a number of conditions, with a few conditions. I mean, I'm not a jerk. I'm just saying, look, if you allow me as part of the team to work toward the truth, but also give me the authority. I've got the credentials. Give me the authority, perhaps subpoena authority or some level of authority to work with you. That, for example, if I say, look, I need these records over here, that they can say no to me, whoever I might be asking for, whatever records I might be asking for. But then I've got power of a subpoena, or I've got power of a congressional law enforcement status behind me. No, I can't do that. Can't do that. Then really? So what? If they say no, you draft a strongly worded letter to them? Is that where we're at with this? Well, you know, that's all we can do at this point. No, then that's not acceptable to me. The congressional investigations that are being conducted to date appear to be subservient to restrictions imposed by the federal law enforcement agencies, including and especially the FBI, who has taken control over these investigations. And you're trusting the FBI, the same agency that attempted to frame President Trump over Russiagate? Are you kidding me? What is wrong with you? And DHS, which oversees the Secret Service, who has disallowed providing additional assets to President Trump, you're subservient to their wishes? And you say, come on, but you can only work within the small parameter. No, I don't think so. Thank you, but no thank you. Because what I find will go directly to the people as opposed to being filtered through some supposedly bipartisan task force that may or may not have the truth in mind. I look at what happened. Again, I'm not trying to disparage anybody, but I do know a podcaster and Corey Mills and the other gentleman went to Butler, and of course they were given the tour. Don't give me a tour. Let me loose. Let me go where I want to go. Don't give me a tour. Oh, you can't go over there because they're working. They're taking the top of a AC unit off. You can't go over there. No, I want to go over there. I won't get in the way. I promise. I promise, but I want to see what you're doing. And I want to know why you're doing what you're doing. With that kind of in my view, without that kind of intensity, we're not going to solve any of this. In fact, I doubt whether it's the intent to solve any of this. The other thing I want to say is, when you subject yourself to the oversight of the FBI, DHS, the U.S. Secret Service, and your congressional task force, you are nothing but a male cuckold to these agencies. The historical precedent that we've seen, the historical precedent of assets within those agencies specifically engaged in complicit activity actions with the actors involved in actual events. For example, what I'm referring to in this case is, think of the Whitmer kidnapping plot. Whitmer kidnapping plot. What the hell was that? That was a Keystone Cops setup from day one, and the FBI was directly neck deep involved in it. Oh, and believe me, the FBI does not care for what I'm saying. Ask me how I know. Don't ask me how I know. So you have the Whitmer kidnapping plot. You have January 6th, the, quote, Fedsurrection, which I agree with that title, at the Capitol. Christopher Wray denying, well, I don't know how many assets. We didn't have any agents there. No, no, you have to ask the question properly. How many assets, whether they were CIs or operational or informational assets on the ground, did you have at the Capitol? He wouldn't answer that question. I know. I'll get back to you on that. Hey, has anything happened despite all of the bluster? No, nothing has happened. This is what I'm telling you. In my view right now, this is my personal opinion. Prove me wrong, please. I want somebody from the bipartisan congressional task force on the assassination attempt at Butler. I want them to prove me wrong. Prove me wrong that you guys don't want the truth. Prove me wrong. And how you can do that is, you want our findings. I'm more than happy to share them with you, but I'll tell you what. I'm just not... will work, but I want to make sure that they're not put in a hole somewhere, covered over, you know, burnt to ash, put in a hole, covered over, dug back up, reburnt, put down. No, I want to make sure that the people, you, know about the findings. In closing, the extensive investigation research we conducted by the Hagman Group, the pattern of a larger plot involving elements within the federal government, including those tasked with conducting oversight investigation, the evidence of a bigger plot is emerging. You know, once unthinkable, it appears that the conflicts within these agencies and even those in positions of oversight are so great that the truth must be kept from the public by the very individuals and institutions charged with exposing the truth. Look, if you're taking kickbacks from Ukraine and you have a pro Ukraine war suspect, you know, man, it doesn't look too good, right? Think of it in that fashion. Of this latest attempt. But until we expose those people that are involved in this, and until not just exposing, but prosecuting by an independent body that has law enforcement authority given to them, truly independent, this will keep happening. Attempts will continue to be made. Until that is accomplished and the operational networks existing within the framework of our government, the corporate media and private entities working against the American public interest, the crimes we are seeing taking place overtly and with greater frequency, as we have seen just within the last couple of days, will continue. It does not give me any kind of joy to say that we've got a problem, but we have a big problem. I would give up this platform tomorrow, today, right now, if we were able to, or if somebody would take the mantle of leadership and really create a very decisively independent and transparent investigation into all of this. But it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. It can't happen because you have too many people who are involved in the money, in the power, and being blackmailed by compromising issues. You have too many people. Sadly, it's not gonna work. I hope that made sense to you. Now, I want to jump to this article next. This is from J.D. Vance. And I know Glenn Beck, I think today, well, it had to be today, on Glenn Beck's, on his program, referred to this particular article. This is at the Blaze Media. J.D. Vance, another Trump assassination plot? Question mark. The media's double standard strikes again. I want to put a lot of blame on the media. I want to put a lot of blame on what is taking place today on the media. Folks, please go to The Blaze and bookmark this or read, print this out. This is just a fantastic expose about where we're at today. I'm going to read parts of it. For the radio listeners, this is at The Blaze again, theblaze.com, and it's a column by J.D. Vance. In the bold print above the text, it says, how do you think the Democrats and their media allies would respond if a 19-time Republican donor tried to kill the Democratic Party's candidate for president? The question answers itself. Writes Vance, Donald J. Trump nearly lost his life again on Sunday. And now this, I'm opining here. Let me just interject something. This has been so downplayed by the media. Oh, no shots were fired by the intended assailant. By the attempted or by the assassin, would-be assassin. No shots were fired. This was described as an incident. This was downplayed like July 13th was downplayed. And continues to be downplayed by the media, by the leftist scumbags. But let me read this, because this does incorporate another aspect of things, and that's censorship, because, you know, we're being told to calm the rhetoric, calm the violent rhetoric. Okay. Really? It's us, right? Because we are the ones responsible. Now, again, this is me, not the article. We're the ones responsible for the bomb threats in Springfield, Ohio. Had Donald Trump not talked about Springfield, Ohio, there wouldn't be so many bomb threats. Well, when you look at the bomb threats, turns out most of them came from overseas and they were all hoaxes. But again, I digress. But Donald Trump nearly lost his life again. Or on Sunday. Again, an armed gunman waited for him in the bushes. He brought a GoPro camera to record it. A Secret Service agent spotted the barrel of a gun through the fence and fired at the gunman. The gunman fled. He was caught, and now we slowly learn about him and his motive. See, this would not have been available minutes after that assassination attempt. Okay, so President Trump is my running mate, again, this is by Vance, and my friend. But more importantly, he's a father and a grandfather to people who love him very much. Folks, I want you to think about the human element to this. I don't care if you're right, left, black, blue, orange, gray. I don't care what color you are, right? I don't care what creed you are. I don't. If you are a human being listening to the sound of my voice, think about this. Think about the humanity part of this. Think about the people who love him, his grandkids, his kids. And believe me, I know his children love him a lot. I want him to have many more years with his family, writes J.D. Vance. And selfishly, I'd like many more of my own, or with my own. I admire President Trump for calling for peace and calm. The rhetoric is out of control. It nearly got Representative Steve Scalise and other members of the House Republican caucus killed on the Northern Virginia baseball field a few years ago. You remember that, folks? That was by a leftist with a gun shooting at the right Republican baseball players. It nearly got Donald Trump killed twice. But I want to say something about Sunday's news and about how it illuminates the difference between a vigorous debate and violent rhetoric. And this is really what's key here. Here's what we know so far. I don't even want to say her first name. Mattress Back Harris, Communist Harris, has said that democracy is on the line in her race against President Trump. The gunman agreed and used the exact same phrase. He had a Biden-Harris bumper sticker on his truck. He was obsessed with Ukraine's fight for democracy and absorbed many unhinged views about the Russia-Ukraine war. His name is Ryan Routh, and he donated 19 times to the Democratic Party causes and zero to Republican ones. How do you think the Democrats and their media allies would respond if a 19-time Republican donor tried to kill the Democratic Party's candidate for president? The question answers itself. For years, Harris's campaign surrogates have said things like Trump has to be eliminated. And how have their media allies responded to the second assassination attempt against President Trump in as many months? NBC News, they called the attempted assassination a golf club incident. The Los Angeles Times told us Trump targeted a golf club. USA Today's top of the fold headline on Monday was Hope in America. What a garbage newspaper. And the paper published a preposterous letter to the editor arguing that Trump brings these assassination attempts on himself. How dare you? Have you ever been shot at? Have you ever been the target of a bullet? I think not. CNN's Dana Bash, who bizarrely accused me of inciting a bomb threat, this is Vance now writing, said Monday that Harris' campaign rhetoric didn't motivate Routh, even though he echoed that rhetoric explicitly. The weekend news show on PBS perfectly illustrated the double standard of Harris and her media friends. After spending 30 seconds on the second attempt on President Trump's life, the show then focused on the real danger, Trump and me. According to the talking heads of PBS, we are personally responsible for the bomb threats against residents of Springfield, Ohio. Never mind that I repeatedly condemned those threats. And subsequent reports suggest that they came from a foreign country, not some deranged Trump fan as the media suggested. The double standard is breathtaking, and Donald Trump and I are, by their accounts, directly responsible for bomb threats from foreign countries. Why? Because we had the audacity to repeat what residents told us about their problems in their town. Meanwhile, Harris allies call for Trump to be eliminated as the media publishes arguments that he deserved to be shot. Now, that seems like a double standard. At a deeper level, it is entirely consistent. Consider Springfield. Citizens are telling us their problems. Those include the undeniable truths of more car accidents, unaffordable housing, eviction of residents, overcrowded hospitals, overstressed schools, rising rates of disease. They also include the infamous pet stories, which again, multiple people have spoken about, either on video or to me and my staff. Harris's strategy is to ignore these people and their concerns. And I'm going to add something here. The media's strategy is to say, oh, you're a bunch of conspiracy theorists, like Channel 5's Phil Williams, who called this platform a far right-wing conspiracy theorist podcast. I'll move on here. No matter how much you hate these people, you cannot possibly hate them enough. I'm gonna close with this paragraph on this because I want to get this one more thing here. toward the end of the article, writes Vance, this is the difference between debate, even aggressive debate, and censorship. Well, right before that, the message is always the same. Don't you dare express an opinion about the public affairs of your nation. Just shut up. That's Vance's assessment of the left and of the media, the leftist stenographers. Again, don't express an opinion about the public affairs of your own nation. Just shut up. This is a difference, writes Vance, between debate and even aggressive debate and censorship. It's one thing to attack Harris for destroying the country, and quite another to say that Donald Trump should be eliminated. Yes, that Nimrod of in Congress, Dan Goldman, called for his elimination. It's one thing to criticize overheated rhetoric, another to say the former president has invited an assassination on himself. It's one thing to say that Trump's arguments about the election of 2020 are wrong. It's another thing to attempt to remove him from the ballot over it. It's one thing to argue that pets are not, in fact, being eaten. It's another thing to say that anyone who disagrees and is trying to murder people. Dissent, even vigorous dissent, is a great tradition of the U.S. Censorship is not. For the next 7 weeks of this campaign, J.D. Vance writes, I will vigorously defend your right to speak your mind. I believe you have every right to criticize me and Donald J. Trump, even if you say terrible or untrue things about us. But when I ask you to tone down the rhetoric, it isn't about being nice. Americans have every right to be mean, even if I don't like it, or empty platitudes. Instead, I'm asking all of us to reject censorship. Reject the idea that you cannot control what other people think and say. Embrace persuasion of your fellow citizens over silencing them, either through the powers of big tech or through the media, through moral blackmail. I think this will make our public debate much better. But there's something else. When you reject censorship, you reject political violence. Embrace censorship, and you will inevitably embrace violence on its behalf. The reason is simple. The logic of censorship leads directly to one place, for there's only one way to assure, one sure way to silence a human being permanently. You put a bullet in his head. It's J.D. Vance. I'll put the link at HagmanPI.com. I ask that you please subscribe to this show, this program, and please subscribe to this. I'm sorry. What's that? 2 minutes, yeah. He's giving me cues. Stop the hammering. I ask that you please subscribe to our show. We have many more things to bring out. I'm going to tell you right now, a lot of things to bring out. Tomorrow, I'm going to be talking, I believe, with Dave Hodges. We have apparently had a scheduling snafu today with Stan Deo, so that's why he was not on. Tomorrow, I believe we are on Dave Hodges is coming on. And we're going to be talking about a number of different things, including and especially the threat that I didn't get to, the World War III threat. Jack Posobiec was all over that last Friday with Alex Jones on InfoWars. I would urge you to. I was going to play a couple of excerpts. We didn't get the chance because I was long-winded. But I ask you to please tune into that broadcast. The link will be at HagmanPI.com. It's the broadcast from September 13th where he talks about us poking the bear, the Russian bear, and the fact that, hey, you know, we could watch World War III by these people. And folks, again, you cannot extract the agenda of the warmongers, of these people who want to create war, from the attempts against Donald Trump. You cannot, there cannot be an extraction. All of this is linked together. Because the very same people who want war in Ukraine, who want world war, who want to eliminate millions, billions actually of people, are the very same people who are organizing attempts against President Trump, and they're going to continue. They will continue. Thanks for your belief and trust in this. Leave your comment at Rumble. Brighty on. Tell me what you think. God bless you. Thank you for your support. Without your support, we wouldn't be here. We're barely here now. God bless you.